Thank you all for the special. It's wonderful. I'm so thankful for God's goodness, and we're grateful to be back here at Bethany Baptist Church. So thankful for your faithful prayers and support of our ministry over these last 3.5 years. I can't express how valuable and helpful that it is, and just so grateful for it. Last time we were here was in September of 2020. Yeah, that was a world ago, wasn't it? And Brother Colin and Ms. Callie Hendricks were here and got to spend some good time really getting to know them. They got to be the first missionaries we took on for support as a church plant. And so we're grateful for that connection here as well. Thankful for Brother Dan. Thankful for his friendship through the years and his encouragement and his annual reminders that it's my anniversary. Those are extremely helpful. So I'm grateful for that. I've not forgotten an anniversary since the last one that I did. So that's so grateful for this church. A lot of wonderful people here that I know have been here faithful for a long time. And so I just want to say thank you from our church for what you've done for us. I'll ask you to turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. A couple of weeks ago, the Lord just made it clear that this was what he wanted me to preach while we were here this morning. And tonight I'll talk a little bit more about what God's been doing. Tonight I'll preach from Acts 14 on a report on the real blessing of church planting. And so I look forward to that tonight. But I knew God wanted us to be here in Acts 1. And so I've been preparing. And this morning I was thinking, you know, this has been their missions month. Surely somebody has preached from Acts 1 already. And so I got on the live stream, I started looking at the previous messages, and sure enough, your pastor preached from this passage on Wednesday night. And but I'm convinced of this, that if God was leading me a couple weeks ago here, and God led your pastor there on Wednesday night, then there's some reason that God wants Bethany to live here for a week in Acts chapter 1. And so I look forward to preaching what God's given for this week. So Acts chapter 1, if you'll please stand in honor of God's word as we read. Our text this morning will cover verses 6 through 12. So Acts chapter 1 and verse number 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. With God's help, I'd like to preach to you a message entitled, Staying Focused on the Right Agenda. Let's pray. Lord, I ask for your help this morning that your Holy Spirit would make the message clear. And I pray that making it clear, every one of us would respond to how your Spirit has spoken to us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. May God bless his word. You can be seated. Sometimes it can be really hard to stay focused on the right agenda. You ever been walking into a room only to realize that you have forgotten the reason that you are there? I'm about to turn 36 years old, and that is already happening to me, and it makes me know I'm in for a world of trouble in the coming years. You know, you're walking in there, maybe you got sidetracked by some thoughts about an appointment that you have or about lunch, or maybe you got sidetracked about thoughts about a problem that you're having, and by the time that your mind is focused on these other things, you've lost focus for why you got up out of your chair and walked over to this room in the first place. Perhaps you were sidetracked by a conversation with your spouse, or by a scolding of your children, or perhaps by a coworker who stopped you and had a question for you, and after about a 5-minute conversation, you're just standing there. What am I doing here? You know, it's easy for us to get sidetracked from what we are supposed to be doing. I would also say that as Christians, we are supposed to be focused on reaching the world for Jesus Christ. That is the agenda that is to be the central focus of every church, whether it's in Lubbock, Texas, or on the other side of the world. We're to be focused on reaching people for Christ. And yet, it is the agenda from which we are so easily distracted. I too must admit that I struggle to stay focused on the most important agenda. That might sound very strange to your ears to hear from a church planter, from a pastor, and yet it's true. I'm not always as focused on evangelism as I should be. I'm not always focused on study as I should be. I'm not always as focused on church planting and missions as I should be. And so I too find it a struggle to stay focused on the most important agenda that I have. And the reason why is because I am so easily distracted. I'm so easily sidetracked. It can be by my sports teams. This is not a problem with the Colorado Rockies. For a very long time, it was not a problem with the Colorado Buffaloes until a couple years ago. And it's hard to take your eyes off of that program right now, whether for good or bad. But it can be a struggle. For 10 years, it has not been hard to keep my focus off the Broncos until this year. And so there are times when even sports can sidetrack a pastor from what he's supposed to be focused on. There are times when I might be distracted by a deep dive into a theological issue. I spend time reading systematic theology books and really trying to tackle these things that sound real biblical and sound real spiritual and sound real theological. And yet what I can find is the time that that consumes in my personal life sidetracks me from the most important agenda. Sometimes it can be politics and current events. Sometimes it can be material things like broken down cars and burned out water heaters and all kinds of problems like that, or even just wealth and vacations and things that money can buy. I simply admit to you today that as a church planter, I can be distracted from the most important things. It's possible for even things in ministry to sidetrack me from the most important agenda, whether it's graphics design or websites or putting on events or these other ministry-minded things. They too can sidetrack me from the right agenda. And so what I'm simply admitting to you today is this: pastors are made up of the same stuff as you. And church planters and missionaries are made up of the same stuff as you. And that I admit that it's hard to stay focused on the right agenda. But I suspect that I'm not alone. I suspect there are many people in here who struggle, whether you're on a staff or if you're a pastor or a Sunday school teacher or a church member, whatever it might be, we all share this common struggle to stay focused on reaching people with the gospel. It's a struggle. So how can you and I stay focused on the most important agenda? I believe that Acts 1 has the answers for us. Jesus has risen from the dead. He spent 40 years speaking to his apostles about things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He has reiterated the promise of the Holy Spirit coming to empower them to accomplish their mission. And all of this talk about the kingdom and all of this talk about the Holy Spirit has them focused on an agenda. It has them focused on an agenda that is true, an agenda that is biblical, an agenda that is theological, and yet it is an agenda that has the potential to keep them from focusing on the most important agenda that they have. And Jesus' final words are to help them and us with this propensity to get sidetracked. And I believe in our text this morning that God gives us three particular things that will help us stay focused on the right agenda. And the first one is this: we must realize when we are too focused on another agenda. The apostles, I want to show you, were focused on what we might call an eschatological agenda. Eschatology is the study of last things. And in verse number 6, it says, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" See, they knew based off of Old Testament prophecy that in the last days the Messiah would come and he would free the nation of Israel from Gentile domination. He would be given the throne of his father David, and he would reign from Jerusalem, having restored the kingdom to Israel. That was what they were all expecting when Jesus came, revealing himself as the Messiah. But in a sudden twist, Jesus was crucified, and he was laid in a tomb. And all of their eschatological hopes of the restoration of this kingdom laid in that tomb with him. But then in another sudden twist, 3 days later, Jesus showed himself alive to his apostles. And for the next 40 days, he showed himself alive to them by what Luke calls here many infallible proofs. And all of a sudden, just as Jesus was risen from the dead, all of their national aspirations and their eschatological dreams rose from the dead with Jesus Christ. And now as they are gathering together for this final time, they're saying, now must be the time. This agenda that they were focused on was true. It was biblical. It was theological. But now was not the time. Everything they hoped for, Jesus will do at his second coming. But what Jesus wants to help them realize here is that they are not focused on the most important agenda. And so Jesus says in verse number 7, it says, "And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power." What Jesus is saying is this: these national aspirations that you have and this agenda for the end times, it is true, it is real, it's not fake, it's not erroneous, no, it's all real, but all of that is in God's hands. And only God knows when Jesus will return and reestablish the kingdom and reign as he said he will do. Now's just not the time. That is God's concern. But he says, it is not for you to know the times. It is not your concern. It is not in your hands to concern yourself so deeply with what only God knows. And so what Jesus is doing here is he's helping them realize that they are too focused on another agenda. I use that word another very carefully because it was not a wrong agenda. It was not an unbiblical agenda. It was not an immoral agenda. It was not a sinful agenda. No, it was a good agenda. It was a right agenda. It was a theological agenda. But herein lies the problem. It was another agenda. And so Jesus is helping them realize you're too focused on another agenda. And if Bethany Baptist Church, and if you as a Christian are to stay focused on the right agenda, You too must come to realize when you are too focused on another agenda. Did you know it's possible for you to be too focused on an eschatological agenda? That you can spend all your time with your Bible and your books and your commentaries and your Left Behind series all open up there on your desk in your office room, and you can sit there with your charts on the wall and studying all of these things and trying to look at what's going on in the world right now and how this fits the end time eschatology and how this fits God's end time agenda. I had a man text me in our church this week and said, "Pastor, do you think that Trump's plan to redevelop Gaza could contribute to bringing peace to the Middle East and the rise of the Antichrist?" I simply responded this short answer: I have no idea. The reality is none of us do. And yet we can be so focused on trying to put things together and studying a third temple and what these red heifers are all about. And you can go through all of these things and trying to determine who the Antichrist is and when Jesus will come and this, that, and the other. And yet Jesus said, only God knows. It's not for you. This is not in your hands for you to concern yourself with and focus your life upon. You need to leave it in my hands. But that is an agenda that we can spend so much time focusing on that it can distract us from the most important agenda. Did you know that you too could become too focused on a national political agenda? Both Boulder Valley Baptist Church and Bethany Baptist Church can deal with this on two different sides of the aisle. And we can become focused on American politics and the economy and power, and we can begin just being consumed with a national agenda. And what happens is you end up getting into debates with your friends and your family and your coworkers and on social media. And what you're talking about is about Doge and expressing your opinions about that. And you can express your opinions on annexing Greenland and counting Canada as the 51st state and the way that the Canadians are booing the national anthem in hockey right now. And you can go through all of these things and you can have all of these perspectives and debates and podcasting, and it's consuming so much of your time. And in the process, as you sit across the table from your coworker and you're debating about these things, you are burning down gospel bridges in the process. Amen. It's possible. It's possible for us to become so focused on a personal agenda. Building my wealth and my retirement. And you can even, although we have focus on the family, sometimes you can be too focused on the family. Really? Yeah? On trying to get your kids everything that they want. On trying to drive yourself nuts, driving all over the biggest state here. Everything's bigger in Texas. Yes, that means your trips are longer to sports events. I can't imagine how long it takes to get from here to like Longview or something like that, a long time. But what you can find yourself is whether it's with your family or if it's your personal wealth or if it's cars breaking down or fixing things in your home and remodeling your home or building a new home. I'm just saying there are all kinds of things in our personal lives that we can become focused on. And let me say that not every agenda that you have in life is unbiblical. Not every agenda is immoral. Not every agenda is sinful, but sometimes they are just another agenda. Amen. They're not the agenda. And what Jesus is calling his disciples to in this part of the passage is to bring them to focus on the most important agenda. And to first get them on the most important agenda, they need to realize when they are on another agenda. And we need to do the same thing. The apostles' agenda was not unbiblical. It was not theologically erroneous. It wasn't even necessarily wrong. It was simply a different agenda that could sidetrack them from the most important thing they need to give their lives to. And so before you can focus on the right agenda, you must realize when you're too focused on another agenda. But number two, we must refocus on the right agenda. We've got to refocus on the right agenda. Jesus says in verse number 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. See, Jesus says that the right agenda was not an eschatological agenda, it was a missiological agenda. It was one having to do with reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that this power that they are soon to receive from the Holy Spirit is not for personal agendas. It is not for eschatological agendas. It is not for national agendas. It is for the expansion of a spiritual kingdom from Jerusalem to the uttermost part of the earth. They were to be witnesses. Witness means to testify of the facts about Jesus. Well, what facts were they to testify of? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That he is the Messianic King of Israel. The root of David. The Son of David. That Jesus Christ was incarnated in human flesh. And he went to a cross and he suffered and bled and died for the sins of all mankind. And he was buried in a tomb. But 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And we saw him ascend into heaven in a cloud. And he promises that he is coming back to both vindicate his saints, to judge the wicked, and to establish his kingdom. And all who do not place their faith in Jesus Christ will experience the judgment of God from that day that they die all through eternity, unless you repent and trust Christ as your Savior. They were called to testify of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But notice where they were to witness. He says, first of all, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea. You know what Jerusalem is? Right where they were. Remember, they were not all from Jerusalem. Vast majority of his disciples were from Galilee. They're from the outskirts of Judea. And yet what Jesus is telling them is you need to witness right here, right where you are. The people that you go to the marketplace with, the streets that you walk, the places you eat, the people you associate with, you need to testify of the gospel of Jesus Christ to them and the surrounding areas. You need to testify locally. But then notice also that he calls them to witness cross-culturally. He says you're to witness in Samaria. Samaria was made up of exiled Jews and Gentiles. They were viewed as half-breeds. They had their own political system, their own religious system, their own cultural views, and it was starkly different from the Jewish practices, that a lot of times it was mixture of Judaism with paganism, and so there were things about the Samaritans that they so hated that the Jews referred to them as dogs. That they would rather go all the way around Dallas-Fort Worth than to go through Dallas-Fort Worth. That's what they would do. And yet Jesus says, that's where you're to witness. People who don't think like you. People who don't vote like you. People who don't believe like you. People of different practices socially. You're to go to them. But then also notice that they were called to witness globally, as it says, to the uttermost part of the earth. That in Asia and in India and in Egypt and Ethiopia and Rome and Spain, everywhere people are, they were to witness. And so Jesus is calling them that while they are focused on a national eschatological agenda, Jesus is calling them to refocus on their global missiological agenda. That they are to witness locally, and they are to witness cross-culturally, and they are to witness globally of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what I'm here to tell you today is that we need to realize when we're too focused on another agenda. And when we do, we then need to refocus on the right agenda, and that is witnessing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Did you know that you've already been empowered? Teenagers, college students that have trusted Christ as your Savior, Did you realize that you already have a power that is beyond your capacity to witness to your friends at school, to witness to your roommates, to witness to your classmates, to witness to your professors? You say, man, I don't know how to witness. God's given you power. How? Through the Holy Spirit. See, we're no longer waiting for a Pentecost to come. Pentecost already happened. And the moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And along with the gift of the Holy Ghost, the sealing of your salvation, but also His gifting to do the work that God has called you to do. We've already been empowered. So the command that remains to us is not to wait around like they were supposed to in Jerusalem. It's to go. It's to tell. It's to testify, first of all, locally, among your friends and among your family and among your schools and at your workplace and right here in the neighborhood surrounding this church. You are called to testify, not of an eschatological agenda, not of a political national agenda, not of a personal agenda, but of a missiological agenda that Jesus died for their sin and is willing to save them today if they will but believe and call upon Him for salvation. That is the message you've been called to go to tell right here in Lubbock, Texas, but also in your surrounding areas, to be involved in other church plants in places like Hereford and Amarillo and Plainview and all over this panhandle. People need to be saved, not just in places like Boulder, in places like here. And God has called you to testify to them of Jesus Christ. But we are also called to witness cross-culturally. Our universities, whether they're in Colorado or here in Lubbock, Texas, are filled with professors who seek to tear down the belief systems of Christians and replace them with philosophy and vanity and all other kinds of things that will pervert their minds and turn them away from God. And what they need is a church who's going to be willing to go to those people who already swing the other way, who already think the other way, who already dress different than their biology, people who don't vote like you, people who don't think like you, people who don't believe like you, that a lot of times as Christians we can be utterly repulsed by sin, and indeed we should be, but when we see lost people living like lost people, our heart ought to be like the shepherd's heart of Jesus, who sees them as sheep scattered abroad with no shepherd, with no hope, with no salvation in front of them, unless a believer in Jesus Christ comes to them and says, you know what, I'm gonna set these cultural aside. I'm going to cross over these cultural boundaries. I'm going to come, let me tell you about Jesus Christ. He's the hope you're really looking for. He's the security you really need, and you can find it in Him. They need you to do that for them. We're not just called to witness locally and cross-culturally. We are called to be involved in witnessing globally of Jesus Christ. Sometimes God calls a church like this to send a family like the Hendricks to England. And a lot of times when God calls people out of your church, not all the time, but a lot of times they are who you would consider to be your best people. Staff members, kids teachers, Sunday school teachers, connection group teachers, leaders in the church, stalwarts in the church, that a lot of times it's God calling them to go. How do you imagine it hit the church at Antioch when the Spirit of God said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul"? They had led the vast majority of people in that church to Christ. They had baptized them. They had discipled them. And God said, I want to take these two responsible for founding this church, and I want to send them to the other side of the world. God does that still today. And sometimes we want to hang on to those people. We love them. We care for them. They taught your kids. They taught your kids from the time they were little kids all the way up until they were adults. They just kind of kept growing with them in a church that's this age. Sometimes that happens, and it can be hard to let go, but God is telling you, no, that's exactly my plan. That's my agenda. So set aside your personal agenda. You sometimes got to set aside your affection and love and desire for them to stay here so that they can go and witness globally. But not all of us are necessarily called to be a missionary globally. Someone has to be here to witness locally. Someone has to be here to witness cross-culturally. But it doesn't mean that you can't be involved in the global witness of Jesus Christ. This is why you commit each year to give a certain amount to missions. It's so that you can financially support missionaries around the world. It's so that you can financially support church planters here in the United States, that these are families that are witnessing of Jesus Christ to people in distant cities and in distant lands. And your missionary giving is a way that you can simultaneously be involved in local and cross-cultural and global witnessing. This is the most important agenda that you have. And there's enough in your missiological agenda to keep you occupied from all the other agendas. There's enough there. And so if we're going to stay focused on this missiological agenda, we must, number one, realize when we are too focused on another agenda. Number two, we must refocus on the right agenda. And number three, we must remember that Jesus will return. Amen. Look at verse 12, or verse 9, excuse me. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven?" You know what that sounds like to me? Why are you just sitting there looking around? Why are you looking up? Lift up your eyes, look on the fields. They are white, all ready to harvest, is how Jesus would have said it. But why are you just sitting here gazing up into heaven? He says, "This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem and waited for the promise of the Holy Spirit." And when they received that power, boy, they went and preached Christ everywhere. Leading people to Christ, planting churches. Jesus' message to them through these angels is, "I am coming back, so get to work." Amen. If we are to stay focused on the right agenda, we must remember that Jesus will return. Time is short, eternity is long, and the mission remains unfinished. Yes, Jesus is coming back, and that's wonderful, and we have many things to look forward to when he does. He will give us a glorified body, and all God's senior saints said, amen. Amen. He will deliver us from pain, suffering, and sorrow, and all who've experienced the miscarriage of a child and the death of a child, or the death of a parent, would say, amen. Amen. And he will once for all conquer death, hell, and the grave. And he will return, and he will restore a kingdom of perfect righteousness and justice and peace. And he will reign, and we will live and reign with him in a new heaven and a new earth. There is so much that we have to look forward to, my friends. And a lot of times as Christians, we can just find ourselves sitting around looking up and saying, like John, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." But what we can find ourselves doing is staring up into heaven, just hanging on till Jesus comes, while the world not only metaphorically, but very literally goes to hell. And what Jesus is calling us to do is to stay focused on the right agenda. But that's really hard. It can be. But I also want you to know, you can stay focused on the right agenda. How? Realize when you're too focused on another agenda. And then refocus on the right agenda. And remember that Jesus is returning. And therefore, we have much work to do with very little time. Amen. See, there are people in this city and around the world who are lost in their sin. And if they die in their sin, they will spend eternity in hell. And what they need is your witness. What they need is for you to go to them and testify of Jesus Christ. They need a believer like you who is focused on being the Spirit-empowered witness that Christ has called you and filled you to be. Jesus is coming back, And all who trust in him will spend eternity in heaven. But all who do not will be judged in hell for their sin. Can I just ask you a simple question this morning? When he returns, where will you be? Where will you be? Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for your sin. And he promises that all who trust in him will be forgiven of their sin and receive the gift of eternal life. Listen, my friend, your sin can either be judged on Jesus or it will be judged on you. It will be judged. It's just a matter of who will take it. Would you trust Christ today? He laid down his life for you. He willingly took it for you. So believe and call on him and be saved. Our Father, we come to you this morning.